CFRO Community Radio Station. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
Now we are. That was interesting. Do you think the song had something to do with that remarkable segue?
No, I don't think it did.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tasha Sims. Welcome to Conscious Living Radio, Co-op Radio in Vancouver, 100.5 FM. I'm here with Mark Caron, and we're going to be playing some really funny old school music, all having to do with cannabis and the like. The International Cannabis Business Conference is coming to Vancouver. Vancouver's been called one of the cannabis capitals of the world, and we're going to explore just what that means. We're going to talk about the upcoming conference at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Vancouver, which is happening tomorrow and Friday. And our guest is conference organizer and founder Alex Rogers. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, so I'm going to start off real down and dirty, if you're okay with that.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. I'll just say it's not at the Hyatt. It's at the Sheridan Wall Center, and it's June 24th and 25th.
Well, then that I wish I'd seen that information. Okay.
Get down and dirty. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm starting with Germany. I'm going to... You received once a 6-month jail sentence for cannabis trafficking, and I'm wondering what impact that had on the work you're doing now. Is there a correlation?
That is a great question, Tasha. That's amazing. I would say it has everything to do with what I'm doing. I was a pauper running around Europe for many years, and I just loved it over there so much, and I was just kind of a dumb kid having fun, and I got into trouble and did some stupid things, and not that they were morally objectionable per se, but I knew better, and when I had that experience, I'm an upper middle class kid from Minneapolis. My sister went to Princeton and I went to prison, so when that experience happened to me,
aren't they the same? Aren't they sort of the same? No kidding.
Yeah, well, they're learning experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when I got out, I was just like, okay, excuse me, I forget about this. I'm gonna go home, because I've been in Europe for about 8 years, just kind of hopping around, having fun, kind of learning languages. That's probably the most productive thing I did. And I went home, and then I immediately just re-enrolled into university. A lot of my credits transferred from back when I was a kid, and then I graduated in political science about a year and a half later. Then I started a medical marijuana clinic in Oregon, not a dispensary, but a doctor's office. That was very successful. And then I started the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference, and that became the biggest in the state. And then I was like, okay, it's time. It's time for me to go back, and it's time for me to really be international, because that's my thing, and let me go to, Berlin was the second place. We do our conference in Berlin now, and when I booked that venue a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago, nothing was going on in Germany, per se, regarding medical marijuana. And people were like, the Germans were like, Alex, why are you doing this? This is we are words for you. We are, charging $500 a ticket or whatever, and I was like, man, I just have to, I just have to. It's just, I just got to do this. I'm feeling it. And lo and behold, the laws changed basically a couple months before the first conference. That was just over a year ago. And we've got our second one now. We're now the biggest B2B in Europe. The Berlin Conference is the B2B juggernaut of Europe. We have our date set for March 31st to April 2nd next year. It's going to be huge. We're getting crazy demand. So yes, going to prison, was the impetus for me to go back to, Europe, in Germany specifically, and make something happen with regards to
changing things.
Cannabis, cannabis public policy. Have a good time and make a little money while I'm doing it.
Yeah. So this upcoming cannabis business conference is different from previous business cannabis events, at least in Vancouver. Tell us again where it is and when it is.
Yeah, it's at the Sheridan Wall Center, June 24th and 25th. The 24th is just a VIP reception, and then the 25th is the conference, and we have an after party afterwards that everyone's welcome to, every attendee's welcome to come to. And it is different in that we're our first endeavor in Vancouver was about a year and a half, and that was actually our first international endeavor. I mean, I live in Oregon, Vancouver. It's kind of international, right? And so we're all Cascadia, you know. So I went up there, but I was surprised. I was surprised what a tough market it was, and how people were very suspect of me. I was like, hey, we look like we don't quite talk alike, but you know, we all are kind of hippies, like to smoke weed, right? And we're laid back West Coasters, and they're like, no, you know, you guys are like, no, who are you? And you know, we've got our thing. And that's the thing. That's why I was in Vancouver, is because for my first international endeavor, I wanted to be something that was familiar to me, and that Vancouver culture is familiar to me. Mm-hmm. And you guys have been so legendary for forever, and been leading the way on just kind of, I mean, hippie culture, basically. You know, not to make that in a pejorative sense at all, but just, you know, just progressive, open-minded, loving, you know, empathy and all those good things that we we like here. I'm sorry, say it again. I didn't hear.
Easy to get along with.
Laid back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But hey,
sipping on gin and juice.
But your promo reads less tie dye, more tie. So this is what I want to get at. What impact will?
No, I don't think you have the right promo. That's not our promo. We would never do a promo like that.
So. Well, I did see it on your website, Alex. It was all about more tie and less tie dye. Absolutely.
No, that couldn't be on my website. Where? Tell me, Mark.
Well, I'd have to go take a look and see where it was. But, you know, regardless, I think I understand the concept of what was meant by that statement, because we're looking at the business side of cannabis versus the hippie side of cannabis in that sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, our roots are our conference came out of our demographic is changing of who's coming to our conference. I don't think that's on my website, but ironically enough, more ties are coming to our show, our events, rather than tie dyes. In the beginning, it was all tie dyes, and that's why you can wear your tie dye. You can wear your dancing bears or whatever you need.
Okay, so wait. Let me rephrase the question.
Just to be clear, you know, we're business, and we can go all business, but we're not just business.
Okay, I'm going to try and phrase it a different way, because I think what we're trying to kind of enter is, what is the impact? What do we have to be aware of opening to a corporate? Because there is an invitation to corporate. You know, there's money involved now. There's an invitation to corporate participation. And then you're talking about the people who are the grassroots, who are, you know, chill and laid back. I think I'm just trying to create a conversation and say, how's this marriage going to look? Or how do we...
Yeah.
You know what I'm asking you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It might not be a cultural marriage per se, but it's a dynamic that, with regards to mom and pop growers or people who have been in the game for a long time and been servicing the industry, legal or not, and how do they transition? And with all the big money coming in, what does that mean for them? And that's a really complicated issue. And when you talk about Canada, it's a complicated issue. When you talk about BC, it's even a more complicated issue. When you talk about cities like Vancouver or Victoria, becomes even more convoluted. And so that's what we've seen with your medical program over the years, is that it's very convoluted. You have the growers, and then you have the LPs, but then some growers can grow, and now you have before legalization, the new thing, it's all going to change, but then legalization happened, and now, you know, and now all these stupid new laws that come with it, and it's like cannabis is the redheaded stepchild, and it just gets treated, you know, like it's still that people want to make it negatively connotative when when they can make money off it, and therefore it needs to be regulated more, and so on. So from my perspective personally, I'm a student of Jack Hare. He was the first person that got me into the cannabis movement. And he always said it was just like tomatoes, and it was just something like fuel, you know, fiber, shelter, medicine. And he just pounded that. And the fact is that that's true. So I'm of the ilk that cannabis shouldn't be regulated. If you ask me personally, it shouldn't. You know, everybody should be able to at least have this. This is the most crucial point. And this is what Jack would report also, mm-hmm. is that everyone, the industry, they're gonna, I can't swear on this show, can I? They're gonna mess it up, okay? We know the administrators and everyone's gonna mess it up. Within that mess up, there's always gonna be these little pockets where it's still tolerated, like it was under medical. But that being, you know, especially like Vancouver, BC, it varies provincially, or it will. But what Jack would say is that there's two main important things, and that's everyone can have a robust home garden, okay? So a robust home garden. And the second thing is that criminal penalties are completely ended towards cannabis. And I mean completely. I mean for sales, for growing. If you can get a permit for something, right? And if you're not complying with that, it should be a penalty, but it should be a fine, not a crime, you know, a more of a civil thing or an administrative offense, right? But the crime itself, for the flowers of cannabis, to possess or sell, so if you sell 2 pounds on the street, right, the cannabis is not a crime. Maybe you didn't pay your tax on it, right? Well, that's always going to be some type of crime. You know, I'm not really commenting on that, but that's my point. Enforcement for cannabis, you could still have enforcement if that's what the enforcers want. But it doesn't have to be the cannabis itself. And one of the reasons I'm saying that is because as we see big business coming in, we see, well, gosh, there's nothing we can do to keep the mom and pops. There's stuff we can still do, but it's a powerful machine. I fall back to just a personal perspective is what I want as a patient or as a consumer is to be able to get the highest quality weed at the best price. And at least have a lot of choice, and that's really it. You know, as a consumer, you want to get the high, and you don't want to go. You don't want to have any criminal ramifications, whether you use or not.
So you're advocating it stay within the individual's realm as opposed to the government getting involved. Tell me what your take on it is.
I'm telling you my personal opinion. What I advocate is can be sometimes different because because I'm a realist also, and I know what's possible and what's not. But I'll always tell people what my opinion is, still knowing that, well, I know I have to compromise now. I know, you know, if we had just gone for, if we just tried to legalize and say, oh, we want it like tomatoes, we never would have legalized. So, right. You know, I was, you know, I've been in the room with Dennis Perone and Jack Hare in San Francisco in 92 or 93 or 94. And them talking about, oh, are they going to do 215 in California, the medical marijuana measure that passed in 96? Or are they just going to go for legalization? Well, Jack had been trying to do legalization in California for many years. And it wasn't really a reality, so everybody got behind Dennis, including Jack. Actually, even though he was a bit gruff at the start, because he saw, wow, this is a fissure, you know, and it did become a fissure. That being said, everyone's going to regulate it. Cannabis industry in America is way more hippied out in one way than Canada, because Canada, you have your BC contingent, your Vancouver Island contingent, but yet the whole industry in Canada has been taken over by the finance industry, basically, because of this. And this is a big crux of what's happening. And maybe I'm digressing or not, but this is important in that you guys are the only ones that people can go public on a stock exchange. There's, you know, it's starting to Australia, maybe Germany a little bit now. But not the U.S., right? Mm-hmm. And so everybody's going public now, and you know, the Canadian Stock Exchange is taking companies from the United States public, cannabis companies public in Canada. So this is a huge industry advantage that you guys have right now. Everybody knows it. There is a trickle down. Even people, even, you know, a lot of the hippie growers are now like getting paid by the LPs or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is, you know, it's not. Nothing's all bad.
It's changing. And I do wonder, so some of our listeners right now who are tuning in, who's the conference for and what would the focus be?
Yeah, the conference is for, the demographic of the conference is going to be a lot of financiers, a lot of investors, a lot of higher-ups in ancillaries, in LPs, in dispensaries. It costs $500. You guys have a great discount code, the best actually, because I love what you guys do, but and I love Andrew so much, but you know, this is a high-end industry networking event. If you're a new, you know, but if you're a newbie or you're, you know, and you can afford the ticket, then I would still come, because I think there's you know, this is it. If a lot of growers, I'm from Oregon, so I've seen it all kind of happen in my little microcosmic world. And, all my grower friends and stuff just complaining about the prices plummeting and getting scaled out. But guess what? A lot of those growers, you know, adapted and they figured it out. Mm-hmm. And not even having to be under the ire or the beholden to some other corporation. You know, they could take their outdoor weed that's worth $500 a pound now, and they could start co-packing into pre-rolled joints, and you know, and herein lies the whole other problems. How is that going to go down in California, in Canada, provincially? Who's going to let the mom and pops in? Who's not? This, that, the other thing. Regardless of whatever the policy or the rules and regulations are, if you're smart and you love cannabis, then, or if one is smart and one loves cannabis, then one will find a niche. So it's for that. It's for anybody in that regard. But it's a big player deal, and there's going to be big players in the cannabis industry, and it's going to be real high level, high end networking.
And who are the speakers?
We have Henry Rollins keynoting it, because, like I said, through all this almost cerebral, some of the stuff is pretty cerebral and heady. We'd like to start it off with a bang. We'd like to start it off with a social message. So I got Henry Rollins, from the spoken word artist and old time punk rocker from LA, to come up. He's from DC originally, and do the keynote. And that's going to be great. And then we've got a lot of things happening. We have a big acquisition and mergers panel. We have the Canadian Stock Exchange doing a program on how to go public, or some of the
sounds like more tie to me than tie dye. Sounds like more tie than tie dye to me there.
Yeah, well, it is getting more. You show me where I put that.
Here's where it is on the website.
I didn't. I'm pretty sure it's not on there. It is getting more tie than tie dye, but at the same time, like I said, a lot of the tie dyes, they might not be wearing a Armani suit, but they're going to be there. And that's the cool thing about the cannabis industry. I mean, there's so much levity in the, you know, and I definitely come from more of American perspective, but I understand the Canadian world fairly well, and I see what goes on up there. And there's a lot of great companies, and there's a lot of, you know, young people with great jobs that young hip people, you know.
Yeah.
You go out you come to our after party with Del the Funky Homo Sapien, and, you know, and all those suits are going to be smoking weed. So, you know, it's...
We are one.
It is what it is.
Okay,
know?
let's keep going with speakers.
So we're really proud of what we created, because it is a marriage of hardcore business, but yet we still keep a... We got to keep our soul, right?
Keep your heart. Okay, let's keep going with speakers. So Dr. Gabor Maté, who we all know, it's a Vancouver...
No, I see what the deal is. You have last Vancouver's information.
We're looking through the website.
Yeah. No, all you got to go is the website, and it's all right there.
So yeah, just to clarify, that note was from an article from the Vancouver Sun that is posted on your media page on your website, where they say at Vancouver's next big weed get-together, you can expect less tie-dye and more suit and tie.
Yeah, so I didn't say that, bro. That's some story that was written about us. So it might be in our media kit, and maybe that's where you...
So go over the speakers, because clearly I've got a whole other list of them. I don't have your current list of speakers. So who else?
We're doing a lot of different things. We have a media panel. We have a branding workshop by Prohibited, one of the top cannabis media and branding companies in the States. And there's a workshop. I don't know if it's filled up yet, but it's free to the first 50 or 60, I think, folks who sign up. And normally that'd be like $1,000 just to attend that workshop in L.A. with Prohibited. So that's a big boon for the conference. And then Canopy Growth, the biggest public corporation in cannabis in Canada, is doing a $1 million pitch, and they're pitching for micro grower. And so herein lies something that Canopy Growth is doing, the big giant, to help the mom and pop, and that would be micro growers. And there's going to be a pitch to give away, that's not the right nomenclature, but there's going to be $1 million pitch and for $1 million seed money for the winner of the competition. And that's going to be, we've never done anything like that, and so that's going to be a little bit fun also. And then we have the after party afterwards, which is a big networking event, and the VIP reception before is a big, the night before is it's an add-on to the ticket, and it's really where the top of the conference are, and it's just 2.5 hours, and it's fierce networking. So we have great not only do we have great content, but really ultimately, why are people there?
Yeah,
to learn and to network, and the networking,
right.
You know, is like none other.
So for anyone with an interest in the future of cannabis on any level, this is the place to be. Does that sum it up?
Yeah, I mean,
so
yeah,
tell-
well, in one way, if you're really into just like medical research and all you want to do is geek out on medical, then it depends what you want to do. I mean, are investors here to fund any and all projects? Yeah, they
so
are.
So it's the business.
Are you going to learn about
the business?
Yeah, are you going to learn a lot about medical marijuana per se and the intricacies of the cannabinoids? Maybe not. In Berlin, every show we do is catered to each respective location. So in Berlin, we would concentrate on medical marijuana, and we do, because that's the market right now, right? And that's what people are interested in and want to understand. But here, but that being said, we have a great panel, a great medical marijuana panel through some of the top doctors in Canada. At this event, it's just 30 minutes long, but they'll be there, and so that's the cool thing, is it's still an intimate event. You know, it's probably only going to be about 1,000 people there, and that's, you know, if some of these cannabis conference goes, well, that's still considered boutique. Therefore, the networking is extremely intimate, and everybody is very approachable, and you know, my whole, you know, my thing when I get up and I start the event off and kind of give a little overview. My whole mantra is don't be a dick, and everything's going to work out.
It's all going to be all right. So listen, tell our listeners where they can find out more information about you, and tell them about your website, and where they can get tickets.
Sure. Then go to internationalcbc.com, internationalcharliebravocharlie.com, and they can get all the information there. If they have any other questions, they can just email us off the website. And, of course, you guys have the best discounted link that I've given to anyone. So
and that's
if anybody wants that link, they could contact – well, no, they would have to contact you.
Yeah, let me just give them that. It's www.consciouslivingradio.org for the discounted rate. Awesome. Well, thanks, Alex. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much.
Okay,
yeah, thank you.
Have
Alex.
A good one. All right.
All right, you too. Take care.
Now, these guys really have protested and said, no, we're not one-hit wonders, but wait till you hear this track. I think they are. Kind of are. You're listening to Conscious Living Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver.
I got high. Yeah. Smelled the cannabis aroma, and I got high. Glaucoma is getting better, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high.
Baby.
Because I got high.
Yeah.
Because I got high.
A lot of that time.
I used to smoke cigarettes, but then I got high. Get tired and call it quits, but then I got high. I'm playing basketball and jogging, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high.
Because I got high.
Yeah.
Because I got high.
A lot of that time. I used to drink beer and wine, but then I got high.
Yeah.
I woke up feeling fine, because I got high. I used to take Xanax, but then I got high. No more prescription pills, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high.
Because I got high.
Because I got high.
A lot of that time.
The state made revenue because I got high. They built a school or two because I got high. Now the state can fund drug treatment, and I know why.
Why,
man? Yeah, because I got high.
Because I got high.
Because I got high.
A lot of that time.
No more criminal traps if it's legalized. I don't have to buy from gangbangers shooting craps.